Welcome to the path forward for August 1st, 2025. Like most of you, I'm wading through the propaganda to figure out what's real and what's not real. And I was going to publish a bunch of things last week and actually held off because there's so many things coming to light right now and going on. A lot of those disclosures that I was talking about are coming out in weird ways. I just finished the Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens interview, and if you haven't listened to it, you should, because she goes through a lot of different things I've talked about. And what you're seeing across the board is a transition from this, I don't want to say, you know, blue pill, red pill to black pill, but you're seeing a lot of people black pilled right now. And it's because they've realized that everything we've been fed over the years by trusted sources, it's really just nonsense. It's lies and nonsense, misdirection. And, you know, 2 years ago, I was talking to Mike Ferris today, and 2 years ago, you couldn't have talked about Israel in the way that Israel's being talked about right now, or you would have been an anti-Semite or a racist. Either way, we're seeing the disclosure and things come to light that we've never seen before. And she spends the first half of the interview talking about Macron and the Macron piece, but then she dives into the pedophilia. And I did an interview with Ian Burlingame, and I, you know, three guys I really like to do interviews with is Burlingame, Tom Luongo, and Alex Craner, because they're all deep thinkers, right? And Burlingame and I disagreed on the pedophilia thing because I've seen it firsthand, and he thinks that it's not as widespread as we think it is. It is. And if you go, let's go back to 2020, 2021, right? What do we hear in 2020, 2021? We heard data and science, data and science, data and science, trust the science, 2 weeks to slow the spread, right? All these tag words, all these buzzwords, all these key phrases that were used. And then we started seeing in the media, as well as in Hollywood and Netflix and Amazon, all these pandemic movies, all these post-apocalyptic movies, and it all reinforced the idea that this pandemic was a killer, right? They played the fear card, which literally got everybody, you know, 6 billion people to stop overnight. Literally 6 billion people stopped in 24 hours. They stopped going to work. They stopped interacting. Kids stopped going to school. People stopped going to church. And then it was full court press when they realized that they were successful to propagate even more of a lie and keep us locked down. And then, you know, about 4 months in, people started going, wait a minute. I mean, I was probably one of the only vocal people off from the very start saying, wait, this is bullshit. I've seen all this before. I've written a lot of this shit in Iraq. So I've seen all this before. I know what it looks like. This is all bullshit. They're lying to you. But nobody was listening. And it's because we were so indoctrinated from, and I'm going to say the early 70s, all the way until COVID. COVID was the culmination point of years of propaganda, conditioning, and programming. There's a reason why they call television programming. They're programming you to believe a certain lie. They're programming you to believe, you know, certain narratives. And it was highly effective, because if you look at who's doing the loudest screaming right now, it's the people that are still addicted to television programming. CNN, MSDNC, Fox News. It's all programming. They're all controlled assets. Just call it what it is. They're all controlled assets. They're nothing else. And over the four-year period, people started to get more and more weary, but it was really the 2020 election that woke a lot of people up when they saw the blatant cheating and the blatant malfeasance that was going on right in front of them. And we're seeing the same thing now, only it's in your face now. And she does a really good job of talking about Macron and Epstein and the pedophilia problem. And this has been around a very long time. You could go back to the 80s, and George Bush Sr. was named in the Boys Town scandal in the 80s for having oral sex with two boys. And it was just brushed under the carpet. King Charles was good friends with Jimmy Savile, who was probably the most prolific pedophile and child murderer in UK history. There's no coincidence there. That's not a coincidence. And this Macron thing really highlights just how incestuous that whole environment is, right? When they, and look at Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi is a case study in somebody who thinks that she's completely above the law, impervious to any kind of prosecution. You can make the same case about Bill Gates, about anybody that's affiliated with the Biden family. They're all above the law. Even though the Bidens have never refuted Ashley Biden's diary. They've never refuted it. They've never said it wasn't true. They've never said that it didn't happen. They've never sued anybody over it. They just said, nope, didn't happen, and that's where they left it. You would think that something that scandalous, they would have at least tried to brush it under the carpet, but they didn't. In fact, they doubled down. And the videos from the Biden laptop, all of those things have been mainstream now for several years. And, you know, part of the big lie is, and it's what they do to politicians and people they want to destroy, is they release a lie into the public. And they just keep repeating it until it's mainstream and it's accepted. And that's how they did it with COVID. They hit us with this, oh, this terrible thing, and all these 15-second videos with no context out of China, people dropping dead in the middle of the street. We got to slow the spread. I'm going to shut everything down. We're going to take a 2-week lockdown. We're not going to do anything. And then they followed it up with all the messaging in the mainstream press. They followed it up with all the movies and television shows and post-apocalyptic shows on Netflix and in Amazon. They crossed the gamut. That's how the game's played. They just inundate you with the same messaging until you believe and buy into it. And then when they're caught, you know, blatantly lying, they call it a conspiracy theory, and then they basically destroy you with lawfare. We're seeing all of that unwind right now. It's playing out in front of you. They can't hide the truth anymore. They can't sit there and rub it in your face without people going, wait a minute. And the proof of that is Epstein. It's not going away. Epstein will not go away until someone's arrested. And I've gotten to the point now where I just every day I wake up and go, okay, we're 192 days and nobody's been arrested. Obama, Brennan, Clapper, Hayden, Rice, Holder, the Clintons, all committed treason. Everybody in their orbit, everybody in the intelligence agency, Mike Pompeo, all those people condone and covered up treason. Everybody knows it now. Has anybody been arrested? Has anybody been arrested for any of the malfeasance that took place with Epstein? No, they're trying to sell you on yet another lie. They're trying to flood the airways with lies to say, yeah, well, this person wasn't really there and they've tainted the evidence. There's probably two things could be true at once, right? They probably did taint the evidence to implicate people that probably were never associated with it. And they also are trying to cover up for people that were associated with it. People that were associated through, you know, volunteering, people that were complicit because they were compromised, and people that were coerced into it. That's how they propagate the lie, is they just continue to tell more lies and you don't know what to believe. And the reality is there's rapidly approaching a culmination point where the lies will be overcome by the truth. And that's what we're seeing. And that's what I've been saying about disclosure, right? Is that there will be some kind of disclosure where the truth comes out and they won't be able to obfuscate it anymore. And that moment has already happened with Epstein. The fact that they came out and said that Epstein had hundreds of victims that were victimized over years by a variety of people, you can't hide it anymore. It's out there in the public knowledge. It's in the public consciousness. But even more so, after 2020, the entire Trump base started looking at the world with different colored glasses. They started looking at it as, okay, everything that we've seen is BS. Now enter Darryl Cooper. Darryl Cooper goes on to Tucker Carlson. Look, I don't know who's behind Tucker Carlson, but I want to shake their hand. Whoever is behind him pushing this narrative and pushing this information to the surface, I want to shake their hand. Because today, in one moment, I literally got vindication for 5 years of talking about it. In one moment. And that was the discussion about pedophilia and how everybody in the orbit of Macron is a pedophile, is a celebrated pedophile. And I've been saying for 5 years that everybody in the apparatus that was placed into key positions are all pedophiles. And they're, the currency of trade is not money. It's not gold. It's children. And that's coming to light more and more every day, and they can't obfuscate it. Just like the crimes of Gaza that Israel's committed against the Palestinians is coming to light, and they can't hide it anymore. They can't call you. They've played out the Holocaust anti-Semite card. They've played it out. They can't stretch it any farther, and they can't pass any anti-Semitism laws, which is why they're doubling down on this control grid. And there's an article that was done by Matt Smith that Mike Ferris forwarded to me today. It's called The Theory of Mind Warfare. It's in the notes. You should read it, because he articulates in a very, very succinct way how they're trying to implement the control grid. Look, they're going to fail. And they're going to fail because there's too much of the population that's awake now, and there's too much of the population that doesn't trust anything from anyone. And the fact that Trump doubled down on the Epstein stuff, he's, you know, people, you can disagree with me all you want, he's losing his base. Because when you turn on your base, you turn on the people who put you there, you've just set conditions for a revolution, and that's where we're at. It's why I keep saying it. It's why I keep beating the drum on it, because that's the next order of battle. It's not that any of us want it. It's the next order of battle. We have to throw off this tyranny. And we have to throw it off so that everybody across the board, whether you're conservative, whether you're liberal, whether you're agnostic, whether you're an independent, or whether you're an anarchist, everybody needs to see that the whole system has been rigged against everybody to play each other against each other. And it's worked, it's been highly effective because they've had complete control of the media. But now with all these alternative platforms, it's disrupted the apple cart. That's why they were so adamant to get a hold of Signal, to get a hold of Telegram, to get a hold of TikTok, and be able to influence the public through all of those mediums. It's why they're working so aggressively to build a control grid with AI to shut down any of that language so that they can maintain control, and they will fail ultimately. And it's, I believe it's a combination of divine intervention. I believe it's a act of karma. And I also believe that it's an act of spirit here to help. Because, and I'm going to go down a rabbit hole even deeper than that. It seems like the converging point for all of this is this object that's coming into our solar system. And now they're starting to beat the drum on that. Oh, it's an alien spacecraft. It's a mothership that's coming to invade Earth. And they're trying desperately to build this control grid all by November. I mean, come on. There's not a lot of calculus there, and you can make the leap, right? Whether it's true or not, who knows? But it sure looks like that. In optics, if it looks like a duck, it sounds like a duck, it walks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Maybe it's not. But at the end of the day, I'm looking at all the propaganda, and I'm saying to myself, I don't think I've ever seen it this flooded since 2020. I mean, there was always garbage in the system. Like, they would go discredit somebody who was over target when it came to any of the alien stuff, any of the UFO stuff, or any of the secret space program, whatever, you know, all of that, right? Who knows what's true there? I do know that there's alternative technologies that haven't been released that have been around for 20 or 30 years, and they can't hide that anymore. So they can't obfuscate the truth anymore. And we're seeing this convergence of all these narratives all at one time. And if you were, you know, 2 to 3 years ago, you could have never talked about Israel the way that we're talking about it now. And that's an interesting change, you know, change of pace. And everybody's got their theory on it. I'm not looking at it from, you know, what's the theory around it. I'm looking at it as it is what it is. We are where we are. And we're consuming information as we're consuming it. And I'm not thinking through it from the detail of what's true, what's not true. I'm assuming that almost everything, 99% of what I'm seeing is bullshit, and the 1%, the, you know, the 0.1% that's true is the stuff that's bubbling to the top that's really corrosive to the system. And it needs to be corrosive to the system because the system has to die. You can't reform it. I mean, here's the proof in the pudding. We're 192 days into the Trump presidency, and there's been no arrests. They keep releasing information, but there's no arrests. And the public's growing more and more disgruntled and impatient with the system. And at some point, you're going to see people crack, right? And we've seen people crack for a variety of reasons. And we're seeing the fiber of the, and the moral fiber as well as the social fiber of our society starting to fray. And, you know, they released a jobs report today and the economy's not doing nearly what they thought it was going to do. And the housing market's in decline. All of the industries are in decline despite their best efforts to tell you everything's awesome. It's not. And again, they can't obfuscate it anymore, right? Because the truth always comes out. And the truth in this case will come out, and it will be startling for a lot of people, because there's a lot of people that are still, they're believers, right? And the thing with being a believer is it's like civility, right? Civility is just a way to keep people in line under the guise that there's certain norms and certain expectations that have to be met. Well, guess who came up with those rules? It's the same people telling you to trust the plan. It's the same people telling you to trust the narrative, to trust the doctors, to trust the politicians. It's the same game, right? It's like a cause. You know whose cause it is? It's always somebody else's cause. And when I started this in 2020, I was all about helping people see through the bullshit, right? Because I've been fed up, and every day that goes by, I lose more and more of my filters. I lose more and more of my ability to regulate what I really want to say versus what I should say. And I find myself saying more things that I never would have said 5-10 years ago. And I'm just saying them now because I just blatantly don't care anymore. And it's because I know that the same people that are telling me that I shouldn't be saying these things are the same ones that are perpetrating crimes and fraud and, you know, the grift on the American people. I'm done being lectured by somebody like Trump that clearly has taken the money and clearly is working for Big Pharma and clearly is working to build a control grid. You have nothing to say to me that I'm going to buy in the first place. And secondly, the fact that nobody's been arrested, you wanted to sweep Epstein under the carpet, tells me everything I need to know about where you sit in the system. And at some point, the system will collapse. All it needs, like I said, you know, a week ago, all we need is a nudge. It's all we need, just a nudge. And this will go off the deep end. And, you know, that nudge can come from the public. If the public en masse just stopped buying, stopped going to work, stopped consuming, stopped tuning in, just for a week, our economy would be in chaos. The economy of the planet would be in chaos. Just for 1 week. But they've architected the system to where people can't do that. They've priced people out of homes because BlackRock and a lot of the other investment houses are buying single family properties, and they're basically jacking up the prices. And where a lot of this started with the economic stuff was in 2008. When the housing bubble blew up in 2008, nobody was held accountable for that. None of the bankers were held accountable for breaking the public trust. That's when I got blackpilled. That's when I looked at the system and went, wait a second. These people committed treason. They knowingly and willingly issued predatory loans, and they were never held to account for it. In fact, a lot of them were promoted and given bonuses in the midst of that, which is a massive slap in the face. That was my first real dose of, yeah, these things are not real. I mean, I already gotten a certain amount of that dealing with the Bush clan in Mosul in 2004 and watching the nightly BTCs with all the general officers and seeing how the game was played. There was no, look, when we went into Iraq in 2003, there was no plan. There wasn't a fucking plan for anything. There wasn't a plan for how we were going to occupy the country after we took it. There wasn't even a plan for what we were going to do in occupation zones and how we were going to restructure and rebuild the government. That literally, all of that grew almost organically from each area until they got to the point where, you know, Petraeus, and I'm not a Petraeus fan because he worked for Stratfor he worked for a couple of different organizations, Minsticky and a few others, Multinational Security Training Command or whatever it was in Iraq. They have all these bullshit acronyms for, I don't do anything, but I need a job so I can get my combat ribbons. And they started paying the Mahdi army
down in Basra and then Kirkuk and a few other places so they wouldn't attack us. And that was like such a massive wake-up call, watching all this money slide across the table, more money than I would ever make in my lifetime sitting on a table in front of me. And I'd get prosecuted if I, you know, threw $10 in my pocket, but we knowingly gave it out to the Iraqis with no accountability. It was the most backwards thing I've ever seen in my life. That was my first introduction into just how corrupt the system was. But the real red pill and black pill happened in 2008 when I watched, you know, friends lose their entire livelihood overnight. And the banks didn't even bat an eye. And then I watched the banks sit on empty inventory and housing across the country just to jack up the prices so they could make money on the houses that they'd repossessed. And then to watch all the way through Dodd-Frank, where nobody went to jail, nobody was prosecuted, nobody was held to account. That was the real black pill. And when I got introduced to the Q posts in 2017 by my brother, I'm like, this is a bunch of horseshit. Hillary's going to be arrested. They're not going to arrest the Clintons. They're the most insulated people on this fucking planet. They're not going anywhere. And then it was trust Sessions. Okay. Jeff Sessions was a massive disappointment. And, you know, from what I understand, he's supposedly a good man. Well, that's great. But, you know, you didn't do the U.S. any favors and you didn't honor your oath. And then Bill Barr comes in. And I had known about Bill Barr, you know, as a lieutenant. When I was in the Pentagon, I realized what a ball licker he was and didn't have any use for him then. And I don't have any use for him now. But that guy he's sat on so many different cover-ups. It's amazing that people didn't realize it then. But here we are. People see through all of this, right? And when I did the deep dive on why Epstein won't ever be held to account, it's because it'll burn the system down. And people don't realize just how deep this goes. I mean, Candace Owens scratches the surface. And look, I'm not a Candace Owens fan. I never have been. But she touches on some things that you got to give her credit for. And that is that the problem is deeper than people realize. You know, one thing that addicts, that, you know, a spouse of an addict always says, and it's, and counselors say it now too, it's always worse than you think it is. It was way worse than I thought it was. It was way worse. His alcohol was way worse than I thought it was. Well, yeah, no shit. You know, codependency and denial are powerful allies. And in this case, the Epstein stuff's just tip of the iceberg of a bigger system that's out there that's now coming to light, and people are starting to, that, you know, it's getting to the point where people can't look away from it anymore. And that to me is the piece that is quintessential to the real disclosures coming out and the real insidious part of the system that people don't realize. They don't even have an inkling of it yet, but when they do, they're going to see some deeply evil, deeply satanic things that have been occurring for generations that most people are oblivious to. This Macron, Bridget, you know, is Bridget a man or is Bridget a woman? You know, is Macron gay? Is Justin Trudeau gay? Yeah, gay! It's just now starting to come out, just like Barack Obama, gay! Mike Johnson, gay! God. That guy, every time I see him and he plays the Christian card, it's comical now. Like, dude, you don't have a hair out of place. Your dress is always impeccable. Could you broadcast any louder that you're as queer as a $3 bill? And look, I don't have a problem with homosexuals. I really don't. What I have a problem is people trying to sell me that they're a Christian, a devout Christian, and a family person when they're openly gay. That was my problem with the Bush clan. Look, I get you taking money from the House of Saud. I get that you have grifted your way through the CIA and all the system with Alan Dulles as your mentor, and you've made a name for yourself in that industry. That's all fine and good. That was your choice, fine. Just don't tell me that you're not gay. And don't try and tell me that you're a Christian, because you're anything but that. And everybody knows it. And the fact that you were called out in 1985 for having oral sex with two boys, don't tell me you're a Christian. Don't tell me, I hope people remember that I just wanted to get it right. I'm sure you did. Yeah. What a joke. But now it's out in the mainstream and they can't hide it anymore. And that's the piece that, and I hate to say this, but it has to happen. This disclosure has to happen for the world to see that we've been in a coma for almost 50 years. We've been manipulated for 50 years. I'm going to say 70 or 80 years, right? Because look, anytime you have a government, there's always a certain level of corruption that's pervasive across government, no matter what. No matter what you do to erode that, you just, there's always a certain level of corruption, right? There's like, there's always a certain level of malfeasance with elections. There's always a certain amount of corruption in the banking system. There's no such thing as a clean system, right? That's why BRICS is doomed to fail. It's not a clean system. It wasn't created to be a clean system. It was just created as a workaround to go around SWIFT and to go around the dollar and to go around the manipulation. And at some point that will collapse too, right? And this weekend, the whole conversation is about nuclear war. Whatever. We're so close to nuclear war. We've been close to nuclear war for almost 80 years. Whatever, dude. Got it. The thing that I'm laser focused on right now is what's real and what's not real. Because the things that we think are real are not. Like this feigned disclosure around the treason. Okay, some of that might be real. You might have, you know, like the FBI found a room full of things that were supposed to be in a burn bin that are now mainstream emails and everything else. Come on. That's all gaslighting and nonsense. They've had this evidence forever. They're just releasing it now. But you want to, and the reason why there's no trust, the public doesn't trust the government, and now they're starting to distrust Trump and the administrations for the very simple reason that there's been no arrest. Nobody's been held to account. Don't tell me somebody's going to be held. Oh, they're really close to grand jury indictments. They're really close to arresting somebody. You got all this information. You got them dead to rights. You've got them on video and on voice admitting to treason. Roll them up. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do anything else. Just roll them up. And then you'll start to get public trust back. But have they done it in 192 days? Nope. We're going to do more disclosures next week. More stuff's coming at you. Delay, 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 delay. Gaslight, gaslight, obfuscate, obfuscate. It's all same shit, right? All these candidates come in and go, I'm here to enforce change in Washington, D.C. I'm going to work for the American people. I'm going to do my best to give everybody a shot that they never had, that I never had. And then they go to Washington, D.C., and what do we get? The same shit that we had for the last 10 years. Same corruption, the same malfeasance, the same nonsense, the same lies, the same obfuscation. All of it's the same. Until somebody gets rolled up. And I don't mean just John Brennan. I mean the Clintons, the Bushes, Bill Barr, everybody involved with Fast and Furious and Crossfire Hurricane and January 6th, everybody. Then we can start talking about public trust. But until then, it's all bullshit. All of it. Without exception. Bullshit. Wait, let me say that right. Bullshit. And you can't obfuscate the fact that you've told your base, well, anybody that believes in Epstein shouldn't be a part of the party. All right, go fuck yourself. You know, I've said for almost 3 years now, if it turns out that this Q stuff is real, they posted all this stuff to blackpill the public and they had to go through all these gyrations and all this obfuscation so that they could roll everybody up, great. Now go fuck yourselves. Because you had 150 million Americans on November 6th of 2020 and then again on November 9th of 2022 ready to pick up a rifle and go roll people up. All you had to do was, if you're a patriot, show up here and start rolling people up. And you would have had a million former military armed show up and it would have been chaos. Absolutely. It would have been the best pay-per-view forever. But it would have been done. Instead, what do we get? Go home. Let's keep this peaceful.
And then we watched people that didn't do anything wrong that went into the people's house, you know, peacefully, get literally rolled up and persecuted and destroyed. And then Trump came in and pardoned them all. He didn't hold anybody that perpetrated all of that to account. No, he just pardoned everybody. Let's go back to business as usual. And now we're playing the normal DC game. Was that guy? That's the guy right there. That's the guy that did all this shit. That's the guy. We're going to hold that guy accountable. But it's just that guy. It's not the million other liberal communist assholes that are in DC and lobbyist firms, lawyer firms, you know, legal firms, and in government positions that were supporting, aiding, and helping. Nope, just this guy. Just that motherfucker right there. That game is, that dog's not going to hunt anymore. Just like the thought process that if I just keep lying about it, people will believe it. Nobody's going to buy it anymore. Nobody buys a narrative around Epstein. Nobody buys a narrative that Obama acted alone. Nobody cares that Obama's protected by executive privilege. You committed treason. You go to Gitmo. Full stop. That's the part that the Trump administration and Trump doesn't get. They're so divorced from reality that they don't see the fact that the public is demanding accountability, demanding it. And the more they try and push it off, the longer this goes, the more violent it's going to be when it does happen. And it will be a revolution by that point. Because you're seeing people on both sides of the aisle go, where's the arrest? Seriously, where's the arrest? And that's where things are going. And they're not going to be able to drown it out. They're not going to be able to use AI to stop it. Because for every platform they control, another platform will pop up. And people will flock to that platform. Just like in 2020, everybody went to Parler. Then they went to Telegram, et cetera. You're watching the death of mainstream and legacy social media. You're watching it right real time. It's happening right now. And this violence against senior leaders, executives, that's going to accelerate. You'll know when we've crossed the threshold, when it's open season on politicians. That's the bellwether of how this is all going to play out. And, you know, to see, I can't remember, I saw this clip last week. Somebody sent it to me and I can't remember who it was. But this guy was being interviewed and the guy's like, well, what do you think happens now? He goes, people start killing politicians. When does that happen? Because in every situation in history, every time period in history when the government was too corrupt, politicians started getting killed. I'm like, that dude's getting rolled up. But he's right. I mean, you got to give him credit for saying it, even though he's probably been rolled up by the FBI already. But you got to give him credit for saying it because it's true. In every other point in our history where the government was so corrupt, people took up arms. And that's where we are now. We're just on the cusp of it. And this time I think it'll be different because I think people are starting to realize that all these political constructs and these social constructs that they've used to manipulate us are starting to break down. I mean, to hear liberals say to me, you were right about all this stuff years ago and I didn't believe you. And now I'm on the other side of the fence. To see that real time is amazing. And I think we're going to see more of it. We're going to see people crossing the aisle because they realize that the political system that they bought into is a construct. Look, you're not going to convince the boomers. They're all shitheads anyway. That's the generation of me. That's mine. That old generation, everything they did was to benefit themselves. Talk about a generation of narcissistic assholes. It's the boomers. And I'm going to say that. And I'm going to make that blanket statement, that stereotype. Fuck you if you don't believe me, because it's true. Every boomer I know is a self-serving, narcissistic asshole. So wrapped up in their own greed and their own, you know, narcissism, they can't hear the fucking phone ring from space. And you're seeing young people in droves. You know, we're seeing a revival of Christianity. We're seeing a revival of people believing in a higher power. Those are all good things. And we're seeing the decay and the karma starting to hit those people that perpetrated this against us. And I think that trend's going to continue. And I think as it does, you're going to see people starting to make decisions about, you know, how to take care of my family in a situation where the economy's crashed or the supply chain's crashed. You're already starting to hear those. I'm already starting to get those questions. In fact, part of the reason why I didn't do a show on Thursday is because I was inundated with questions about, hey, sir, what do we do if there's no medicine, right? And I did an article about, you know, I did it. Part one of a two-part, I'm just about done with part two, talking about my journey with testosterone and my issues, my health issues that showed up back in 2008. I literally spent 10 years dealing with weight issues, with health issues, with stress fractures, because I had low testosterone. And part one is talking about, this is what I learned in this part. And now I'm starting to move towards natural remedies and natural things that I can find in the environment to boost my system and to replace the, you know, the minerals and the vitamins and the, you know, amino acids that I don't get from the food chain. And it's amazing what happens when you cut out all the processed food. It's amazing, because so much of our food chain is tainted with toxins and with chemicals and GMO. People don't realize how toxic that is for your body. Your body can adapt to some of it, but at some point you got to get back to the bare, you know, brass tacks of only fresh things. I hate to tell you this, folks, if you're a vegan or if you're a vegetarian, we eat animal protein. It's in our DNA. Our bodies need animal protein to process, to give us the nutrients that we need. That's just a fact of life. And if you're disgusted by that, then you better grow a lot of fucking tofu, because you're going to be starving. And, you know, part of my journey was figuring out how to replace and, you know, get my body to start producing testosterone after being on the juice for 3 years. And once you do TRT, which is testosterone replacement therapy, or you do human growth hormone, your body doesn't create it anymore, doesn't produce it. And you have to, like, find ways to supplement and to get your body to do it, you know, to replace it. And there's some peptides out there now that allow you to do that, that stimulate growth hormone, that stimulate, you know, the pain receptors, so that you can eliminate some of the pain. There's peptides for curbing your appetite. All that stuff's pretty natural stuff, but it's not going to be available when the balloon goes up. So now is the time to start looking at, how do I replace all these things, that supplements that I'm taking. I take like 5 or 6 supplements. Like, one of the supplements that helps me immensely, which I didn't realize it did because I took it and then stopped, is pine pollen. Pine pollen is everywhere. I mean, in the Northwest, it was everywhere. And it's great for your system. It's great for my system. It does a lot of good things for me. Gives me energy, gives me stamina, does a lot of things. But you know, it took me 10 years to figure out that that was something that was beneficial for me. And, you know, most people, you're still stuck, and you're rewarded, by the way, to eat processed and bad foods, because it's cheaper. They make it so it's, the price point is affordable to everybody. So you eat a lot of processed stuff. I was astonished when I got off of it and I started just eating, you know, meat from a butcher. I don't go and buy a bunch of veggies and green and leafy. I never really eaten that stuff to begin with, but just doing, you know, like a carnivore diet, I've eliminated the pain that I had from the compressed discs in my back. I sleep better. I feel better. I'm pain-free. And it's just from adjusting my diet. Now, is it expensive? Yeah, it's very expensive. But what's the cost of your health? You give up other things, right? Like when you own an airplane, it's like, oh my God, you own an airplane. You must be rich. No, most guys that own an airplane, they give up other things to afford the airplane. Like, you give up the Starbucks, you give up eating out, you give up, you know, going on lavish vacations, you give up buying a new car every 3 or 4 years.
But those are the things you give up so that you can afford the thing that makes you happy, right? And that's the piece that people need to get back to, is building their lifestyle around the things that make them happy versus, I got all this stuff. Like I've said this before, I had the boat, the plane, I had the, you know, the condo and all that bullshit. And, you know, first of all, you go on the boat, then the boat ferry has to show up to take care of it, you know, to clean it up and to service it after you use it. And then you have to do the, you know, winterization. And, you know, same thing with the airplane, you go flying and you got to replace all the consumables and replace the gas. And you got to put in, you know, put it, if you cover it, you got to cover it, or you put it in a hanger. And there's a host of things that go along with that, right? But if it makes you happy and it's something you like to do, then you'll find the way, the time and the money to do it. And we need to get back to the place where we make, you know, risk-based decisions and we make trade-offs just to, you know, do the things that make us happy. And a lot of people have been priced out of that. So not only do we have to get back to that, but we have to get back to a place where people can afford to do those things and it doesn't break the bank. And the system has to collapse in order for all of that to happen. And we'll be doing a lot of things concurrently because that's just the way it goes. But at the end of the day, don't believe anything you see right now, because everything's a construct. Right down to stories that are planted. There's so much AI and there's so many bots in all the social media platforms. I can barely look at Twitter now because it's either, you know, and whatever your feed, whatever you look at in your feed, then 10 more stories like that show up and they're all curated by AI. So I could barely stand to look at Twitter anymore. Like, here's a good example. I was in Twitter when the tsunami warnings and the earthquake stuff happened in Russia, and none of it showed up in my feed. None of it showed up in Trendy. I got a phone call that said, hey, there's a tsunami warning. I'm like, huh, looking at X, nothing in X. That's how much of a construct everything is in front of you right now. And I've said this before and it bears repeating. Assume everything you see is bullshit and work your way backwards towards the truth. And somewhere in the middle, you're going to find the truth and the stuff that's not true. And the deeper you dive, the more truth you're going to find. Like Candace Owens talks about Harvey Weinstein, right? I think he's a scumbag. Always thought that, you know, producers in Hollywood were douchebags, because most of them are douchebags. And turns out that she's saying, well, he was wrongfully accused and he was, you know, basically railroaded. Okay, some of that might be true, some of that might not be true. But at the end of the day, what matters is the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. You know, part of why I started this channel, part of why I started doing this, part of the reason why I've taken a step back is to get to the truth. It takes longer now to get to the truth than it does to go analyze a story. It takes longer to figure out, how do I operationalize what I'm doing and tell people what to go do with it that it did before. And it's because there's so much bullshit that's been pushed into the system. It takes longer now to wade through the bullshit to get to the truth. And you're swimming through the shit to keep the gutters clean. It's really what you're doing. And I'm hopeful that in the next 3 months, we'll start to see some real truths come out. I think by November or December, we're going to see some real truth bombs dropped about Epstein and about that whole situation. Like, everybody knows Mossad was running the operation. Mossad, MI6, CIA. Because CIA was covering, all the CIA directors knew what was going on. They were all covering. But, you know, Mossad was running the operation. We know who the funders were. We know where the money came from. We know that Robert Maxwell was the handler. All those things are true now. All those things have been out in the mainstream. It's all out there. Now the next bombs will be, what was he into besides that? What other malfeasance was he involved in, and who were the connection points there, and who were the handlers? And you're going to see some names probably that are going to shock you, but they are involved. And by then it won't shock you because you'll have seen it. And that's where I'm hopeful it's going that's in our near future. So don't get wrapped up in the daily narrative, right? The the fear mongering. And I say that because the whole tsunami thing, if you go back to the tsunami warnings in Hawaii and all the coverage in Hawaii, there's a lot of scared people in Hawaii because they didn't know what was coming at them. And it was fear, fear, fear. And a lot of people got caught up in the moment. I've referenced Lawrence Gonzalez's book, Deep Survival, probably 1,000 times now. And it bears repeating again, given the events of the tsunami and the earthquake in Russia. We're going to see more events like that. The ones that survive, the ones that are going to be on the other side of it, are the people that accept the situation they're in and they start making decisions based on that. And they stop going with the rest of the crowd. They start thinking independently for themselves. The people that live through deep survival situations, they first accept where they're at. They first orient themselves to, and it's like somebody that's deeply lost in the wilderness with minimal supplies. Okay, I'm deeply lost. It's raining. It's about to get cold. I can keep walking, or I can hunker down. I can make a shelter. I can warm up. I can figure out what I'm going to eat. And then I can start to make decisions about figuring out where I'm at. And then I can move out from there. And those are the people that survive. It's the people that aimlessly wander through the night, freezing their ass off, get hypothermia, and eventually die. Those are the ones that don't make it. And we're entering a period of time where deep survival will impact a lot of different people. And the ones that will survive will be the ones that can think clearly in those situations and not get swept up by the mob. Because we've been indoctrinated to go along with the mob mentality and the mob ethics and the mob culturalisms. And for us to survive as a society, we have to get out of that and be independent thinkers. Think critically, scrutinize everything we see, make risk-based decisions for ourselves and for our family, and stop letting other people make decisions for us. And stop letting people influence our decisions when we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they're fraudulent or they're just flawed. And you know what I'm talking about. Every one of you have been in a situation where you've made decisions based on other people's input that you knew was not only flawed, but just downright wrong. But you don't want to piss anybody off. You got to get out of that now, because if you want to get to the other side of whatever's ahead of us, you're going to have to be able to critically think calmly, collectively, coolly, in some of the most stressful situations you may ever live through. That's the difference between life and death. That's where we're headed. Because as the moral and social fiber starts to decay more and more, you're going to see violence kick up. You're going to see crazy people get crazier. You're going to see events get crazier. You're going to see the narratives get crazier. You can't get swept up in that. You have to get swept up in the things that matter. And that is, how do I protect my family? How do I feed my family? And how do I get through this? Because nobody's coming to save you. There's not going to be a Starbucks around the corner that you can go sit and break out your laptop and hit Google and figure out what you're going to do next. You don't need ChatGPT or OpenAI to tell you what the fuck you need to do if there's an earthquake. Start independently thinking. That's how you get through the propaganda. Question everything. Accept nothing at face value. Be skeptical of everything you hear. Be skeptical of everything you see. And most importantly, stay out of the emotional space of this. You get wrapped up in the emotions of the fear of the tsunami, guess what? You're going to high ground with everybody else with no supplies and no idea of what you're going to do next. A rational thinker will look at the traffic and go, hey, they're going this way. I'm going to go this way because I need supplies. I need food, water. This could be a 2 to 3 day deal. If there's tidal surge that takes out, you know, most of the infrastructure, and in this case of Waikiki or in Kona, then I'm going to need, you know, 4 to 5 days of supplies, probably longer. I can stretch these things out if I really ration stuff. You got to be thinking in that direction versus, well, everybody's going up there, this will be over in a few hours. You got to stop thinking like that. You got to start thinking through the alternatives. When this happens, I'm going to do this. Here's a minimum number of days. And I'll use the North Carolina floods. That was a perfect example of people that had a plan that didn't survive the first contact with the enemy. You had people that were prepped, that had bug out locations. They had homes that were hardened, swept away, along with their loved ones. And they were stuck somewhere on a knoll waiting for a rescue. Best laid plans, washed away. That's why we, you know, the whole team for the last year, last 2 years has actually preached, have an alternative plan, have a plan. And, you know, be ready to bug out at a moment's notice. Think critically about where you're going to go if X happens or Y happens. Are you in a floodplain? Are you on a, you know, a hill that can slide down the, you know, or do you live in a house that's on a hill that can slide down? Do you live on rock that can crumble? Do you have an alternate location? How are you going to get there if the roads are clogged? All those decisions, you got to start thinking through all of those decisions, because I think that at some point you're going to have to live through one of those deep survival moments. Not everybody, but enough of us. And I look at the propaganda and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to make sense of any of this. None of this is going to be proven to be real or false. I'm just going to let it play out. I'm going to focus on these things. And that's my suggestion to all of you. Focus on the things that matter and stop worrying about the emotional space. If you haven't read Deep Survival by Lawrence Gonzalez, the link is in the notes for the show. And I should be back on Tuesday with another show. And hopefully tonight or tomorrow I'll get the article out, part two, talking about food post contingency food. And then the next article after that is going to be probably about comms, because I have two or three things teed up for comms. But if you haven't seen the Candace Owens interview, you should go watch it. If you haven't read Matt Smith's article, it's in the notes. Go read it. And if you haven't read Lawrence Gonzalez, go read that. Till Tuesday, God bless. One team, one fight.